B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, 4 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show, 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. So we got to check in with our next guest. He's got the big show tonight. That's right, the Fanatic Pro Show. Brian Westbrook tonight from 6 to 7 at PJ's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey with Devon Givens. And he is brought to us today by Rudder Roofing. Windows and siding and decking, they will protect your house. Brian, I have no question for you, but I would just like your general overall opinion on what you saw last night.
You know, Mike, good afternoon. I was having a decent day. You know, I started out, I didn't get a bunch of sleep because of that game last night. I'm just thinking about all the different things the Eagles could do differently to try to get a win. And, you know, my day started out after I kind of watched some film again. And it started out okay. Then I started thinking about that game again. And it just pissed me off more and more and more. It just disappoints me to see a football team that's full of veterans come out and look lackluster, low energy, low effort. And this is a pivotal game for them. It wasn't necessarily must win, but we all know that the NFC East is going to come down to the Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. And beating Dallas is really going to decide whether you're going to win the NFC East and make it to the playoffs, because we're not going to get a wild card team out of the NFC East. So for this football team, this was a must win game. This was a huge game. You know, and let's just forget about the fact that it was on Sunday Night Football in front of the entire world. You know, this was an embarrassing loss. You lose by 27 points, only put up 10 points against a team that had lost 3 games in a row. Embarrassing for this football team, and really embarrassing for Philadelphia Eagles fans all across our country.
Brian, what does it say about the competitive nature of this particular team? What does it say about the coach's inability to have them look like fully prepared for this game?
What competitive nature? You know, I want to point to one thing, and this just really upset me. I was just thinking about it, too. At the end of the game, you know, we're down 27 points, and I know the game is absolutely over. You know what? I've seen coaches in basketball and football calling their last timeout. They're going for it for Hail Marys. They're down 20 points. And we're just running draws, just trying to get out of there. You know, at no point were we saying, you know, let's try to get our offense on track. Let's try to get on track for next week's game. We know we can't win this. Let's get better for next week's game so that we have something to build on. That's what Andy Reid would have done. At no point would we have just ran draws to try to run the clock out. And so when we talk about competitive nature, we talk about team that wants to go out there and win, it starts at the top. And, you know, being prepared, that's Doug Peterson's job. Being prepared, that's the veterans on that football team's job. When I hear things like guys are showing up late to meetings and to practice, it's too late once you talk to the media about it. Those things should have been handled inside the closed confines of the NovaCare Center, and no one would have known about it because at that point, it's already solved. We don't have to worry about guys showing up late because it happened once and it'll never happen again. Unfortunately, this team is not prepared to win at this point. They haven't been prepared by their head coach. The veterans have let them down. Second oldest team in the NFL has been let down by the people inside of that locker room. And I haven't even spoke about the anonymous sources and all this other crazy stuff, but that's a problem too. This team has big-time issues, and losing by 27 last night may not be the biggest one of them.
No, you're right. It looks like a disjointed mess, which really, you know, puzzles fans for the rest of the season on what this season will be. But let's look at the offense first, because they decide that they're going to take the football after winning the toss. And you know, they didn't do anything with that first possession. But then they get down, obviously, with the turnovers. But the offense all game long looked like it had no rhyme. It had no bounce. It had no connection. It had no sizzle. What is going on on their offensive game plan is? Because it didn't look like anything connected.
Well, we've been talking about the game plan for weeks now. This is nothing new. This is the Eagles doing the same thing that they've always done, really all season long. Offensively, they have no rhythm. You know, and it comes from a lot of different things. Of course, I always start with the quarterback, but a couple inaccuracies from the quarterback. You're getting sacked. You're getting pressure, so the offensive line is not doing their job completely. Lane Johnson, who I feel is the best right tackle in the game, had a bad game. He's getting beat up early by DeMarcus Lawrence. Of course, the fumble by Goddard plays a big part. And, again, I want to remind you, this is a team that was supposed to be ready to play. Isn't that how you're supposed to come into a football game that can really mean your playoff life in the football game? To be down 14 within 5-6 minutes of the opening kickoff, that's embarrassing. That means that this team is not getting prepared in practice to be ready to perform. And again, that's Doug Peterson's job. That's the veterans on this team job. And so when you look at it, you want to know why. What are they doing wrong? And, well, of course, you look at the no explosive players. No DeSean Jackson, which, to me, going into the season thinking that DeSean Jackson was going to play 16 games, that's a flaw in and of itself. But you have no explosive plays. You have no real established run game. You have no confidence in your wide receivers that you can throw the ball to. So, I mean, there's a lot of different issues. It just didn't start at the beginning of the football season. You can, you know, link it all the way back until the draft and all those other things. And I think a lot of people, especially in our station, have done that. And they've done a really good job of it. But it's been an embarrassment for a football team that is this old, this veteran, to have these types of situations happen to them.
Yeah, I got to ask you on that note. I mean, you played a lot of football in your life. You've been in a lot of locker rooms. You have a good feel for teams. How does a team that's an older team go into their biggest game of the year with the division at stake and be lackluster? Where does that come from? How does it happen?
Well, it goes to your practice habits. It goes to what your coach is preaching. And I'm not talking about just Doug, but the position coaches as well. What are those guys? What type? Who's being held accountable? What's going on inside the locker room? Are you guys playing grab tail in the locker room? Are you guys focused on winning football games? Because when you show up on the football field, nobody's bowing down to the Philadelphia Eagles. They're trying to take their lunch every single game. And so, unfortunately, we walked into that Texas Stadium down there last night, and we thought that we were going to get a team that looked like they had just lost the last three games, and we didn't. We got a lively bunch that looked like a team that wanted to come out there and win, that didn't want to go 4-0. And the truth is that they didn't want to go 4-0 more than we wanted to win that football game. And at the end of the day, we talk about passion, we talk about desire, we talk about energy. All these things you shouldn't have to coach. And all those things we got beat in yesterday, and that all certainly contributed to that loss last night.
All right, let me ask you about the quarterback, and I'll let you go. Carson Wentz looks to me like he has lost some confidence. He does not look like the same confident player that we've seen, you know, in the past. What do you think is going on with him? Is he just spooked because he doesn't have any weapons, or is he losing faith in his ability?
No, I don't think he's losing faith in his ability. I think that it's a combination of things. There's a lack of weapons, and he understands that. Frank and Zach Ertz is not playing the entire part of his career. And so now he's wondering, okay, well, how the heck can I make something out of it? And on top of that, he's getting hit in contact more now than it seems like he's ever had. And he's getting stripped fumbles. He's getting sacked. A lot of different things are going into Carson. And, you know, and listen, I'm not saying all of it's his fault, but he has to play better as well. He has to do a much better job than what he's doing. And right now, we talking about a disjointed football team from the head coach to the quarterback to everyone else. We are seeing that lively on the field. And you know what, Mike? I can't wait till 6 o'clock. When 6 o'clock comes around for that Brian Westbrook show at PJ Willingham's, I certainly want to invite everybody out there. I don't know what may happen. I don't know what I may say.
You sound like you're ready to blow here.
Tell you that.
All right. Well, listen, we'll look forward to that. Save it. Save your energy a little bit. Get recharged.
I will.
All right. The big show coming up tonight, Brian. We'll talk to you.
Sounds good.
All right, there he is. Brian Westbrook, hot and bothered here. So come out and catch the Fanatic Pro Show with B. West tonight, 6 to 7, PJs in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. The Pro Show presented by 19 Crimes Wine, The Tile Shop, and Rudder Roofing. Can this season be salvaged? It is hard to sit here and think that something different is going to happen with this team because they don't have the talent that's going to be able to rescue them. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope they go to Buffalo next week and completely turn a page and play with their hair on fire and beat the Bills. Third game in a row, by the way, where the dynamic is terrible. And then come back and maybe win the two at home with Seattle and the Bears and allow for a loss to the Patriots. They're not going to beat the Patriots. And there it is. That's six, and that's all they can afford. Let's go. Chris in Miami. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
What's up, Chris?
How you doing, man? Hey, so I think there's two people to fault here. Obviously, the GM, lack of talent, horrible, horrible drafting. And I don't think he's going to go anywhere because you already know how he is with Jeff Lurie. So the next person is the head coach. I believe he has to go, man. I do believe he is a fraud. And it sucks because I believed in him. But if you take a look back to 2018, his record is 12-11. That's without his ex-offensive coordinator. That's without his ex-QB coach. I just think that he's not the guy. He is not the guy, man. And there's so many things to tell me he's not the guy. Like, the team is just... It's a mess right now, and I believe if he had a if he had a hold of this locker room, they would have came back yesterday and made a point. These guys, like their head coach, literally went out there and said we're gonna win, and these guys didn't come and back him up. They did not back him up at all. It's telling, man.
It's true. I mean, listen, you raise great points, but here's the thing. The reality is a guy that won a Super Bowl a couple years ago is not gonna get fired unless there's a total meltdown. Now, if they finish 6-10. There might be a chance of that, but he's not going to get fired.
And that's what I'm scared of, because I do believe that he is getting into Wentz's head, and I think Wentz doesn't trust him, and that's bad, man. Because the two interceptions that he had in the last two games were horrible picks. You can tell he's trying to force the ball, and I believe it's because he has no weapons, and then this guy he has no schemes. Like he doesn't have like somebody to help him out there. It's bad. I don't think he can help him out. I think we need a new coach.
Well, you're not going to get a new coach. The one thing I would like to see more of is to roll him out of the pocket a little bit, like the Cowboys did with Prescott. I mean, maybe that would happen, but he doesn't roll well to his right. He rolls better to his left. When he always spins out, he goes left, and he throws across his body a lot better than he does when he goes right. So if you move the pocket, I don't know how much more success you're going to have with him rolling right.
Maybe he just prefers left when it's, when the play breaks down. But maybe if you design some things to the right. I mean, we don't see many design rollouts with him.
How many times you have actually seen him throw the ball when he's rolling to his right? There are not many times. Like, I'm trying to rack my brain. He rolls right. Does he look good doing that? He looks better the other way.
He must know that Zach and Alshon are on the left side. Maybe that's what it is.
Alshon's on the right side a lot. Let's go to Matt in York. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
What's up, Mikey?
What's up, Matt?
You hear that? Choo, choo! Here comes the train. America's team rolling you scrubs over, baby. How about them Cowboys? Hey, Mikey. I'll ask you this question again. I ask it every time I call. Who's a better quarterback, Prescott or Wentz?
Right now, it's a toss-up.
It's a toss-up?
Yep.
Come on, Mikey.
It's a toss-up. Coming into the game, Wentz was still ranked a little better. But right now, listen, Dak Prescott played very well. He didn't play very well in three straight losses. So, come on, don't get all carried away.
Are you guys going to play?
He played well last night. The Cowboys were the better team last night. The Eagles' playoff situation is in peril. Did I make your day in New York? What are you going to do? You're going to go to the general store a little later? You're going to buy some like oatmeal from scratch?
Yeah, I got to make something for your wife, Mike.
Buy some grain for the horses. Get out of here. Let's go to Mac in Harrisburg. Mac, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mac.
Mike, I rather furious about yesterday's game.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I was looking at a team yesterday that the Eagles actually beat.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Packers.
Yep.
So yesterday I tuned in to the end of that Packers game, and they had a play bogged down. And you know what? The camera showed the head coach sitting next to the quarterback showing him where the play went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that from the Eagles. And like your Brian Westbrook said, there doesn't seem to be any accountability in the whole organization. It's just a lot of
Yeah, well, you know, the head coach doesn't have the head coach has got the chart. He's got to call the plays, and so he's in. You're right. I've never seen him go over and consult. But you know who consults Wentz? His best buddy. He follows him everywhere. Oh, Nate the Great. Nate the Great is right there going over every play with him.
On the
Microsoft Pro.
Yesterday, last night's game, they looked like they were caught in a revolving door and couldn't get out of it.
Yeah, it was not good.
Hey, keep up good work, Mike. Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy, you got it. Yeah, Nate Sudfeld never leaves the side, man.
He's learning.
Nate and Carson.
Besties.
They are besties. Stay there. Nate's giving them the feedback on the Microsoft Pro.
Probably.
Beautiful.
What do you think Nate's saying to him?
Who knows? Come on, man.
You missed Mac Hollins?
I've never pondered that thought on what Nate
what is he saying to him?
Really, I've never pondered it. Dave in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, Mikey, were you talking about the bearded maggot with guy on
the... It was somebody that Jeff McLean apparently was talking about. So, listen, if Jeff has a beef with the guy... And apparently they do have a beef, because I think that that guy who gets water for players apparently rips rips Jeff McLean. So, like, it's silly. It's, like, silly little media, sewing circle stuff. And if you got a problem with a guy, go up to him. I've never had a problem going up to somebody. You got a problem with somebody, go up to him. You don't have to, like, try to expose him with the coach there at a press conference.
Yeah, I experienced that firsthand when I saw you at NovaCare about 4 years
ago. I got a problem with somebody. I'm going to go right up to them. Hey, I got a problem with you.
Yeah, that was a thing of beauty. Mike, yes. Center City to the rescue. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm extremely disappointed that we kissed home field throughout. Last night's game was simply just a clunker that all teams go through. Which is a byproduct of the Mike Missinelli ebb and flow of the schedule. Now, for the positives, Mike, 9 games left. We're 1 game in the standings behind Dallas for the title. 2 games behind Seattle for the last wild card spot. Mike, I believe the worst is behind us. Dougie Pete's a Lombardi Trophy pedigree coach. And like you said, this will be cleaned up as early as next week. Buffalo, you're in deep doo-doo. Dallas, you're in deep doo-doo on a revenge game. And New England's going to get their first loss at the Lynx in a few weeks. Your retort to that, sir?
Well, you're playing Happy Harry with me here, right?
Yeah.
Because you're going right to the effect, but you're not studying the cause. Now, when you study the cause, it's not as easy as black and white. Oh, they're going to be all right. They're going to beat Red Alice on a revenge. Do you see the cause of something right now in that team?
Like the prior caller said, all I see is Eagles versus Green Bay. And
that game last night did not expose anything for you?
Mike, clunker.
It's a clunker. That's it? That's all? That's all it was to you. It's a clunker.
Clunker.
You don't think it's deeper than that?
Clunker.
All right. Listen, man, you're the ultimate fan, brother.
I love you.
I give you credit. But there's some deep stuff going on right now with this squad. Phillies hire manager yet, Andrew?
No, not yet.
No? All right, so you didn't see Gronk?
No, I did not. I saw his debut.
You saw my tweet?
Ago, but I saw your tweet.
What did I tweet?
Something about blubbering.
What did I tweat? I watched. I don't even know why I had it on. Is that Carissa's show?
Yeah.
All right, Chris is on with whom? They added Gronk to that panel.
Mike Vick's on that panel.
Yeah.
That's right. It's Mike Vick. Who else?
One of the coaches is on there.
Oh, it's Dave Wannstedt.
Yes.
Carissa, and they've added Gronk to it. Now, he was so ridiculously bad that I'm thinking, like, I understand he's not media savvy and they want him to be the meathead, but it was beyond meat. And so what I tweeted was Gronk on Fox pregame show has carved out another compelling niche role. Total stammering, swaying, incoherent meathead. And I used a steak emoji.
I saw that.
And why? It's like, seriously? You're going to put this goof on the air and he's fidgeting back and forth. He's got the football.
What the hell?
I feel
what
like
is he, going on?
He got a lot of negative attention from his debut, and then I guess he they did? Thought maybe he'd improve. Yeah. Maybe it just could take some time.
Time? How do you tame that goof? He's just a meathead. He's just a football goof. Like, what's he going to add?
Gronkiness.
All right, let's go to a break. Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Mussinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Yeah, you know, that's Ben sounded like he had a little Aussie going in there.
Yeah.
Basketball, he said. Like it was an Aussie. I haven't heard that lately.
He has a little bit of an accent.
I mean, he's mixed in some Aussie. I mean,
he spent some time over there this summer.
I've re-picked it up.
Maybe he's also tired. My accent comes out when I'm tired.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, your Philly accent?
My Philly accent. It's really bad when I'm really tired. Yeah.
You know what's a great Philly accent word?
What?
M-I-N-E.
Mine?
Mayan.
Mayan.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine does.
That's a Philly thing. Mayan.
Yeah, my accent comes out.
Yeah.
Out.
All right, well, your Twitter poll number should come out now. And that is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons.
We have over 3,300 votes on this one. Can the Eagles go 10-6 and win the division? Or is this a lost season? 26% say 10-6. 74% say lost season. So,
yeah. It's like, what can they do? Like, despite what the coach was saying about, we have the people in here. We have the leaders. They don't. And they don't have the skill set to come from behind. And right now they're behind. And I do believe they're going to lose next week. So it will be a foregone conclusion if they lose next week that the season's over, right? So, God, please win to keep the season going a little bit for the fans. You can't have them bail out in October. Right?
Can you believe it? Like, a lot of people thought Super Bowl this year. And they could be out in October, like you just said.
Well, all right, let's go to Ralph in Mantua. Ralph, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Ralph.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ralph?
Listen, a couple things, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the offensive line's been terrible. The defensive line, like, they've done nothing. The Cox has done nothing. Since he lost his buddy, they let his partner go right there. He can't get a sack. And it seems like the backs, Mike, they can't cover nobody. And one more thing, man, is this. His play calling, Mike, it's been so obvious. Like, I want to go back to last week's game with the Vikings. They seemed like they knew the plays before the friggin' Eagles did, man. It was like, it was disgraceful. His play calling is so inept, it's unbelievable. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, yesterday, I don't know what to see. Their defensive line now... The loss of the two tackles hurt him. But Fletcher Cox, I believe, has taken a step back. And it happens to everybody. And he's not the same dominant player that he once was. And I think it's because the miles have just piled up on him.
Mike, you know what? I think since they lost their offensive coordinator, their playbook is like, it's like, I don't know, it just seems like high schoolish to me. Like, he calls the same plays, like, over and over. Three wide outs on the left, and he throws the ball to the outside. I mean, it's the same ridiculous plays, like, all the time. It's like, it's boring, yeah, man.
He called a play yesterday that does not, no longer works in the NFL. You remember what it was?
Mike, I turned it off after the first quarter.
Did?
I couldn't watch it anymore.
Wow, first quarter he bailed. Andrew, you know the play that I'm talking about, an offensive play, it never works in the NFL anymore?
The draw?
No, the draw works.
I don't know, what do you think?
The toss.
Ah.
He ran the toss right. Did you see that play? The toss does not work in the NFL.
Because linebackers are too quick now.
Exactly. And corners come up. And you can't run a toss.
That was.
You can run it in college. You can't run it in the NFL. Do you remember the play?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about because I was like, oof.
Yeah, and I'm going, they're so desperate. They dial up a toss. What the, like, you're desperate enough to call up a play that you know cannot work against a fast defense. So that tells me that these guys are all over the place. All right, let's go Donna in Ridley Park. Donna, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Donna. Hello, Donna.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good, Donna. You're on the air, bud.
I just wanted to let you know I'm a big Dallas fan, and they come in there to win yesterday. I don't know what the Eagles did, but they better get it together because they have another game with Dallas coming up soon. And
Donna, why are you a Dallas fan in Ridley Park?
I have been a Dallas fan for years.
Hardcore Eagle territory, Ridley
Park. I know. My son won't even talk to me today. I was like, oh, how about them Eagles? And he was like, blah, blah, blah. He's a big Eagles fan.
Well, where did you get it? I'm curious to know your story.
I just always liked them. I don't know why.
Don, that's a violation.
It's.
How old were you when you started liking the Cowboys?
I'd say about 25.
And who'd you like before that?
Well, my other team before that was Pittsburgh.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I don't know.
What is wrong with you, Donna? Seriously. When did you grow? You grew up here.
I know.
Wait, before you were 25, you were a Steeler fan. You flipped into Cowboys? No wonder why your son is mad.
Well, guess what? Dak earned his paycheck yesterday. That's all I have to say.
All right. Dak earned his paycheck.
Man, Donna.
Didn't expect that.
Uh-uh.
Rodney in Dover, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rodney.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, Rodney?
Just a couple things, Mike. I love your show, number one.
Thanks,
I don't know how you put up with a lot of these clowns that call in.
I weave. That's what I do.
Well, one thing I wanted to say was I'm tired of everybody getting upset week to week. In the NFL, it's like you win this week, you're going to the Super Bowl. You lose this week, you're firing the coach. Look, guys, like Bill Walsh said, this is a marathon, not a sprint. And I know, Mike, you like it when people call in and have suggestions, not just talking, you know? And I think there's a couple things the Eagles need to do. Number one, we need to get healthy. Number two, we need to stop dropping balls. Aguilar upset me so much at the end of the game yesterday when he didn't reach out and go for that ball. Another thing, Eagle fans, is look at the schedule. We're going to be 10-6, okay? We're probably going to make the playoffs. And once we get in there, we get healthy. You guys are forgetting something. DeSean Jackson's coming back. He changes the offense completely. Okay, so if I'd have told you at the beginning of the season we were going to be 3-4 without Jackson, with all these injuries, our starting left tackle.
Who else are we talking about coming back from injury?
Well, our left tackle. And
he's 100 years old. He's finished. He's not going to add anything when he comes back.
Well, I feel safer with him out there than I do.
You do, huh? He's not going to be able to play full games anymore. He's done. Come on.
Let's
get to the reality of the situation. If this is a marathon, they're trying to finish it with one leg, bro. They got deeper problems than just DeSean Jackson coming back.
And he's old. He's old. But
how do you know DeSean Jackson's going
to
come back 100%?
DeSean's going to be just fine.
You did? Really? What, are you in the medical tent?
No, but did you hear the press conference they had the other day with the coach?
What press conference?
He said he's working extremely hard.
Of course he's working extremely hard. That doesn't mean he's going to come back 100%.
Well, let's hope he does. Mike, you're an Eagle fan, right?
No, the reality of the situation is you're taking this too cavalierly. Oh, they're going to be 10-7, like nothing, no problems. There's problems right now, brother.
But, Mike, you got to look around the league. How many
I'm looking at 10-6. You think they can finish 10-6 in their current state?
It don't matter if they finish 7-9. If everybody else finishes 6-10.
Come on, man. 7-9 not going to get in play. Let's be real. They have to finish 10-6 to get in the playoffs. And they have to win a tiebreak with that 10-6. So if you think it's as easy as, oh, Sean Jackson's going to be back. Whoa. Man, the cannons. Here we come. It's deeper than that. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
97.5, The Fanatic.
It's 4:45. It is Football Monday right here on the Mike Mussnelli Show. It's brought to you by Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Visit nopaybryant.com for a heating contractor who will do whatever it takes to keep you warm this winter season. All right, Bron Jaworski joins us in about a half hour, less than a half an hour. They tell you about our Fanatic Fan-O-Lantern contest. Now, Andrew is very happy for the Fan-O-Lantern contest.
Yeah, I'm going to do three of them.
You are?
No.
Here's the deal.
Fine.
If you want to win a pair of Sixers tickets, then play Knockout with our show hosts on the Sixers court after the game, and then you can celebrate Halloween with us by participating in our Fanatic Fan-O-Lantern contest. Go to the contest page on our website and submit a picture of your best Philly sports-related jack-o'-lantern for a chance to win. All pictures must have you and the Fanatic logo in it. We will announce the winner on this show on October 31st. It's presented by the new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. So I assume if you dress a pumpkin up like Gritty and pose with it, it could win.
Oh.
Right? Something like
that? I think
so.
That's so cute.
You ever do the jack-o'-lantern? I've only done one in my life. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, I used to do jack-o'-lanterns all the time. Me and my daughter used to carve them. But then like a couple of years ago, I did a couple of masterpiece jack-o'-lanterns and put them out there in front of my stoop with the candle in it.
Oh, that's nice.
So the kids could come and, you know, knock on my door for Halloween. And then I kind of got tired of it. I just put the candy bowl out there for them and said, please take one. My dog was like the escape artist.
Wait, did you leave a sign that said, please take one?
I don't think I left.
Yeah, they took
sign.
Five at least.
I was going to say, you leave that empty bowl out there? Well, I mean, maybe not in, maybe not in Ardmore.
Please just take one. More kids are coming or whatever. I don't know.
You have that much faith?
No, they were going to lie.
There's no honor system on Halloween.
No. Yeah,
but it's great. I saw a commercial for that that doorbell camera.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a commercial on that. And the kid like creeps up. He says, please take one. And one kid comes back after he takes one. And he would grab a handful. And the guy was watching on the camera goes, I said just one. And the kid freaked out.
Are you, what kind of candy? Are you a big candy bar guy? Are you that generous? Give out the king size?
No.
No.
No, I no.
Yeah.
Those days are over. Nobody's selling. Like, you go to a Rite Aid, you could buy like seven bags of fun size for $5.
I just didn't know.
That's what I do.
Because you know what the houses, who the houses are that have the
king size. I think I said please take two.
Oh, that's nice.
Since it's fun size.
Yeah.
Two per kid or something like that. I forget what I said.
That means they took 10.
I love that you left a sign out. What? For the little skippies.
I actually, like one Halloween, I go, all right, I'll stay outside because I can't, like, every time somebody rings the doorbell, the dog's going to freak. So I had a dog inside. I go out on my porch with I have two rockers. So I'm sitting in a rocker and I'm smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
And I got a glass of cognac.
Sounds great.
Yeah, but then I realized that's not a good example. The little skips are coming up trying to get some candy. I got a cigar and cognac.
Skips don't care.
Just say that was your Halloween costume. That's all.
Yeah, I felt bad about that. I got, you know, that's probably over the line. So at that point, I just hid in the house or I went out.
You're like, I'm done.
Yeah. Ralphie in Baltimore, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ralphie.
Hey, good afternoon, Mike.
What's going on, Ralph?
First of all, I love the show. I haven't called you since 2010, but I just want to say, I don't think the Eagles are a good team. I don't see a good roster on there. When I look at the Cowboys, right, I see a good roster. I think they have a Super Bowl, you know, talent, but they just don't have a good head coach, right? When I look at the Eagles, I don't see that same level of talent, you know, when they're competing with a team like the Cowboys or any other teams, really.
Well, the Cowboys did lose three in a row, all right? So let's not get all carried away. They looked good last night, but I wouldn't make that big leap that they can win a Super Bowl.
No, well, I'm saying I think they have a talent too, but not with their head coach. Now, something else, though, that also came up last week, I think you had a doctor on, and he kind of talked about, you know, Deshaun.
Yeah, he thought Deshaun was going to be back.
Right. Okay, so when I look at that, so, and the whole injury report for Cowboys, you know, the Cowboys, you know, Amari Cooper, their left tackle, their right tackle, you know, whoever else they had on the injury report, right? They willed themselves back to play yesterday. And I felt like the Eagles, none of their guys could do the same. And I kind of really, that kind of bothers me. Like, they don't have that same spirit to want to play on a very important game. You know, that's a
well, listen, if a guy's hurt, he's hurt. I mean, those guys were probably able, cleared by a doctor to come back and play. The Eagles, you guys, you're talking about Ronald Darby probably wasn't ready to play, and Deshaun's not ready to play yet. I mean, his game relies on speed. The other thing is Dallas has a bye next week. So these guys that came back all had gutted up for one game, and then they get 10 days of rest.
Okay. I mean,
that's a factor. You know, you come back, you want to play a tough division game, so you will yourself in, but then you get a week off. The Eagles don't have the benefit of that. They can't play guys that aren't ready to play for risk of getting hurt and missing the following week.
But you don't think that for, like, Jason Peters, you know, being out there, you know, in a game like that, that he couldn't will himself back to play?
No. Jason Peters is 37 years old, bro. And when he's hurt, he's been hurt for the last two seasons, in and out of lineup. Well, like, what did you think you were going to get from him?
To be honest with you, I thought I was going to get more from Lane Johnson.
But you're talking about the injured players. If guys if they're still injured, then what are you going to get from him? You know, it's not as easy as saying, I'm going to buck up. You know, if you can't play, you can't play.
All right, Mikey.
All right, buddy. Let's go, Vic in Memphis. Vic, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vic.
Hey, Mikey Miss, how you doing today?
What's up, Vic?
Hey, it's all good, man. Just trying to outrun. You know, we had a couple of tornado warnings here this morning. It was kind of crazy in the AM.
In Memphis, there's tornado warnings?
Yeah, man. Yeah, sirens going off, all kind of stuff.
That's not good.
Yeah, man. Hey, so I got a couple things. One, you know, Mike, I think we kept the wrong coach. I think we should have kept Frank Wright, because the last 2 years, the offense has been, I would say, whether it be predictable or just there's no creativity in the offense.
Now, Vic, hold on.
What?
They won a Super Bowl. Now you're telling me that you, as the owner, would have said, you know what, Doug? We're going to lose Frank Wright, so we're going to hire him and fire you after a Super Bowl? Come on, Vic.
Well, but I'm just saying, look at it from the perspective of
Vic, you're talking about something that was impossible to happen. Come on.
Okay. All right. In reality, yeah, I know he ain't going to fire Dougie Pete. But then he needs to tell him he needs to make some changes to the coaching staff, because the players are regressing. Look, Rasul Douglas regressing. The DB's coach, he needs to go. Schwartz, defense, regressing. Bring in Rex Ryan, something. We need to get some swagger back on our team, Mike.
I agree with that. And you're going to see changes at the end of the year. I don't think there's any question. They'll have a new offensive coordinator in there. They may have a new defensive coordinator. I think you're right. If they miss the playoffs. Now, they could win 10 games and sneak in the playoffs, so we'll wait to see what happens.
Right.
But let's look at Rasul Douglas, though. Rasul Douglas came in with a rep of what? He couldn't run. He always had the rep. He couldn't run. What are you trying to turn? You know, you're trying to turn a pod into a flower.
Really? Look at the end of last year. He was playing really well.
No, he wasn't. He's an erratic player. He's not a good player. He wasn't playing really well. He's not a starting cornerback in this league.
Right. Well, he's regressed though.
Well, no, he hasn't. He is what he is. He hasn't regressed. He still can't run. The decision to make him a starter is the problem. What are you supposed to get out of a guy who can't cover or run and has catch-up speed? What are you going to get out of him? He wasn't even supposed to be the starter. 5 o'clock hours ahead. Ron Jaworski at 5:10. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.